Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we're going to look at the prophet Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah began his calling as a young man. We know exactly when it began, 626 BC, during the reign of King Josiah. And we know that his ministry continued from that time until the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem that occurred in 586 BC. And the message of Jeremiah is familiar to many of the other prophets before him. Once again, the prophets said, "You've been unfaithful to God. You haven't worshiped God, you haven't been just as you should, therefore punishment is coming." And so in Jeremiah 1:13, he declares that he sees a boiling pot tilted away from the north. And quite literally what this is he sees Babylon. It is the country to the north, and he's saying this nation is going to come down from the north and sweep over you. And so that's exactly what happened. In 597, the first wave of the Babylonian conquest took place. The first exiles were sent back to Babylon. And so his vision, his prophecy was fulfilled, that indeed that nation from the north came down and exercised the punishment of God against the unfaithfulness of the people. Now it's interesting, Jeremiah was also one of these prophets who used physical signs. And to realize often they would go into the court of the king and they would proclaim their message. And so they didn't have PowerPoint back then. So they would use other ways to get their message across. And one of the most interesting, some might look at it as disgusting, was a loincloth, underwear. And so what God told him to do is take this loincloth and go up into Babylon and stuff it between some rocks. So imagine, if you will, taking some underwear and cramming it between some rocks out in the middle of everything. And then many days later, he says, "Now go back and get the underwear." "I was going to hold one up, but I thought better of it." And he says, "That's you. You are dirty underwear because of your faithlessness, because of your lack of justice. This is how God sees you. And that's why the Babylonians are going to come, and they are God's instrument." So this wasn't just a political reality. Jeremiah says God's going to allow this to happen as part of your punishment for your unfaithfulness. Now, it's interesting, if you remember the prophet Hosea, God used him and told him, marry a prostitute, because that's the way he's going to communicate as a sign of the unfaithfulness of Israel, that he married Gomer, his bride, who was unfaithful, as a physical sign. But Jeremiah was told, don't marry at all, because God said, the punishment is so soon that if you get married and have children, your family is going to suffer. And so what Jeremiah was told by God is, don't get married, don't have a family, because the suffering is going to be so severe. The Babylonians, when they came, killed many of the people, and the majority of those who were left were sent into exile, and most of them died in exile apart from their land. And so that was another sign that God gave to Jeremiah. Don't even marry, because tough times are coming in your lifetime. Many of the prophets, when they prophesied, it was going to be after their lifetime. But by the time Jeremiah arrived, God says, this is happening during your lifetime, so don't marry, otherwise you and your family will suffer. Well, once again, Jeremiah is given a couple other signs. So next time he appears before the king, this time he's holding a big clay pot. And he throws the pot down and breaks it into pieces. And again, this is God's message in chapter 19. You are going to be broken as a nation. You're going to be scattered just as the pieces of the pot. And once again, I was tempted to take a pot up here and smash the pot and have the pieces go everywhere. Because that's what Jeremiah did. Smash the pot. Make the point. You're going to be spread just like those shards of a broken pot spread out all over the place. And the final major sign God gave Jeremiah was to wear a yoke. And he put this wooden yoke on him, and he stood in front of the king, and he says, "You are going to be under the yoke of Babylon. And that's, you're going to labor under that yoke." Well, what's interesting, it tells us what happened is there was another prophet. Jeremiah wasn't the only prophet. You know, in the king's court, often there were a group of prophets. And Hananiah, who was a false prophet, came and he broke the wooden, smashed the wooden yoke into pieces and said, "God has told me, no, he's going to overcome the Babylonians. And their yoke is going to be smashed and we're going to be free again." Well, Jeremiah went back to the workshop at home, came back with an iron yoke this time. And he says, "You thought it was going to be bad before? No, it's going to be really oppressive when the Babylonians come," and it was. And on top of that, then Jeremiah said, "And God has told me, Hananiah, you will die within the year." And of course, we know Jeremiah was the true prophet because Hananiah did die within the year, and the Babylonians did oppress them like a yoke over them. And so sometimes Jeremiah is called the sad prophet or the blue prophet because he had to prophesy bad news that was coming during his generation. And he saw all these prophecies come true even as he was alive. For so many of the other prophets, they prophesied things to come that they didn't have to witness necessarily, but Jeremiah was the one who saw it all happen. But of all the things kind of that we know about Jeremiah, the one that's most familiar was the passage we read today in the first lesson. And there it talked about a new covenant. And there in Jeremiah 31, it writes, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days of exile. I will put my law within them, and I will write one on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." So Jesus talks about a new covenant in which the people will know God. And we believe, how do we know God? It's the cross of Jesus. You know, before God was on Mount Sinai, God was shrouded in the clouds. You could never view God's face. And now in Jeremiah, he says, a new covenant is you'll know me. You won't have to wonder, and that's what we believe. God says, okay, you want to know me? Here I am in the flesh. You want to know what God is? Look to see Jesus. Because Jesus is the way we know God even now and today. When we have questions, when there is the mystery of God, we say, let's look at Jesus. Because that's the way we know God. That's the way the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. You'll know God because you know Jesus and he's been revealed to you. And so what do we know about God? The first thing we know is he is a God of forgiveness. That's what Jeremiah said. I will remember your iniquities no more. I will forgive your sins. And so the cross is that foundational part more than anything else. To know God is to know Jesus hanging on the cross. To know that depth of God's love for us. That instead of giving us what we deserve, instead of giving us punishment, he gives us grace. He gives us forgiveness. This is to know God. That God's true nature is not punishment, God's true nature is forgiveness. And so this is the new covenant. This is the great covenant. This is the final covenant that God says, I so love the world that I give my Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And so that's the hope that we have. And that's how we get to know God, is as the God of forgiveness. You know, we're in the middle right now of training for our Kairos prison ministry. And last week during one of the training sessions, they showed a video of one of the prisoners who had gone through the program. And he was talking, you know, well, I went through the program because I heard they had cookies. And you know, it was going to be a change from the boring routine of prison. You know, I was up for anything that was going to be a change from the boring routine. But he said, I went there planning on killing a man who had offended me. And as soon as the weekend was over, my plan was to kill this man who had offended me in the yard. And he says, during that week, he was convicted. During that week, he found God's forgiveness for himself. And one of the things that they do as part of the weekend is they're given a bag of cookies and they're told, give this to somebody that you need to forgive. And he said, that man who had been planning on killing this man took those cookies and gave it to that man who had offended him and forgave him for that offense. Now, wow, that's to know the Lord. That's a hardened criminal. That's why we do this ministry, because that's the type of effect it can have. All of a sudden, instead of a life built on vengeance, they discover to know the Lord, to know God, is to, one, know that you are forgiven for whatever past. Even if you're a prisoner who's committed murder, God is willing to forgive those sins in the past, so that we might then live new lives, not based on vengeance, but based on what is the Lord? I will remember your sin no more. I will forgive your iniquity. That's what it means to know the Lord. And of course, the other thing to know Jesus is to know the servant. If we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to know him and live like him, what was Jesus but a servant to those around him? So the most important night of his life, the night of the Last Supper, he got down, he put an apron on, and he washed the feet of his disciples, and it says, this is how you are to be. And that's not like he just did it the one night as an example. That's how he lived his life, welcoming sinners, welcoming outcasts, seeing hungry people, having compassion, seeing people who were sick, healing them. He was a man who was a humble servant. And so he tells us, pick up your cross and follow me, because the greatest of you will be the servant. And so that's our call. When we say, what does it mean now to know the Lord? It's to know the one who gave himself not only in death, but gave himself in service. And so when we know the Lord, we do the same thing. And I was reading about Richard Lisher. He was a young pastor with a PhD in theology. And his first call was at this small rural church in Illinois. And they kind of banged heads, you know. You get this guy with his PhD in a first conservative little congregation. And he was trying to show them all that he knew. And they weren't open to all of his new ideas. And they were conflicted. But it was only later, he said, you know, when I look back at that congregation, he says, I knew I need to ask for forgiveness because I was blinded. It was only when I stepped back that I could see, wow, what a powerful congregation this was. And he said, there were volunteers that used to, there was a girl with cerebral palsy, and number of people would go and exercise her legs and help her develop her muscles. And he said, and in that farming community, you know, if somebody was sick or had problems and their hay needed to be brought in from a coming storm, they would all get together and they would help that person get the hay in. Or if the barn burned down, that literally was, you know, you would help your neighbor get the barn built back up. And he said it wasn't until he stood back that he said, you know, I need to be the one to have my eyes opened, that I wasn't the great one with my PhD. They were the ones who knew the Lord, because they knew what it meant to be servants to one another. And so Jeremiah says there's going to be a new covenant. It's not simply based on the law that you have to do, but the new covenant is know the Lord. And we know him because he took on human flesh. And we know the very nature of God, the one who died on the cross for us. And we know the nature of God, the one who put an apron on and served his fellow disciples. And to know the Lord is to know Jesus. How blessed we are that we've been able to see him and know him. So to know Jesus is to know God. It is to know forgiveness, and it is to know love and humble service. And it is then to strive to reflect that love in our world. May God bless you to that end. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord God, when we hear the prophets, we hear a lot of punishment. We hear a lot of judgment. But yet the prophets point to that new covenant, the covenant where the punishment comes, but not to us. It comes on Jesus. And the new covenant is the covenant of God's forgiveness, of God's service. Lord, help us to know you as we know Jesus, and then to live like you in this world. Amen.